Good morning. Just want to take a brief moment to thank you for all giving me this chance to speak to you and having the willingness to listen. I chose the parable of the tares, and I think we ought to start just by reading it. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares appeared also. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said unto them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants of him said, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" We see here that a man, he planted a good seed. This is like the best you can have. You know it's going to produce good. But while he slept, an enemy planted tares. It's weeds in his field. And his servants found this, and they asked him, "Do you want us to remove them?" And he said, "No, because they look too similar until they grow." And we can see in this picture, we have wheat over here on this side and tares on this side. And they're both similar colors, and they also look similar. But once they grow further, you can see not only do they change color, but you can also see a difference in appearance better. So once they had grown, he got them to go out and gather the wheat. He kept the good wheat while he bundled and burned the tares. So let's just talk about what this means. So we know that the man that it's talking about is God. He's the one that planted that good seed. And we know his enemy is the devil. He's trying to do bad. He's trying to ruin his crop. And this field that they're talking about is God's kingdom, or the church. And we see that this good wheat is God's followers, the ones that are sinless and that will follow him, while the tares, the weeds, are the sinners that want to pull everyone else away. And we know that they look the same to start, and they eventually change. So sin, even though it might not be evident, it will become eventually. And once that happens, when the Lord comes, the good will be kept, while the sinners will be cast into hell. Let's look at an example of this in Matthew 3, verse 12. "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather up his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." It's just saying that the good that you would want to use for other food will be kept, while the bad will be burned. So now that we know what it means, we know that we want to be the good wheat. We want to be able to be that. We don't want to be put into that everlasting fire. So what is a couple things we need to do to be that good wheat? Let's first look in John 15 and verse 8. John 15 and verse 8. "But this, my Father, is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you must be my disciples." Let's also look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we see that we have to bear a fruit, and not just any fruit, but a good fruit, and we have to express that. Let's also look at Matthew 5, 1 through 16. Matthew 5, 1 through 16. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall attain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If it is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we see in this couple of verses that we have to be more like Christ. We have to follow him and do what he asked. We have to be that salt that doesn't lose its savor. We have to be that light that we don't let be covered up. We have to shine. Let's also look in 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3, 3 through 18, 3 verse 18, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's also look at 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. So in these two verses, we see that we have to grow. We have to grow in faith and knowledge, and we also have to grow when it comes to knowledge and self-control. But the main thing is that you have to keep growing. There's no limit. You can always grow more. And just like a plant, if you stop growing, you start to die. And we don't want to do that. We want to keep growing. A couple more things. Proverbs 3, 13 through 27. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of her days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken open and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck, that you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. So we see that we need to keep our heart pure, that we need to fully trust in God and not worry about wickedness or troubles that will come, that he will protect us, and like it says, he will be our confidence. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. And it says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, possession, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you. So we see that it lists a number of things that we have to remove from our lives, like uncleanliness, covetousness, anger, wrath. And we need to put all these things away from us if we want to be the true wheat and the true followers of God. But it also says that we need to put on knowledge and holiness. One more thing. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, take the shield of faith, which is with you. You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So we see that we need to defend ourselves. we need to put on this set of armor that, which is a couple parts of different attributes of holiness. For example, the breastplate of righteousness and the boots of preparation and a shield to defend ourselves against the wiles of the devil. In conclusion, the Christians are like plants, and the planter is coming, and he will reap his harvest. He will keep the good followers, but the bad weeds will be burned in everlasting fire. But we can be the good crop if we bear fruit. We also have to defend ourselves from sins, because in 1 Peter 5, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may desire." So we know that the devil is always looking to pull someone else away, but we have to be ready. And most importantly, we have to grow. We have to add to ourselves everything we can from the Bible. We have to learn and be able to use it. And there is much more for us to work on to be found faithful. As I close, I just want to leave you with a question. Are you the good wheat or the bad weeds, the tares, that are trying to pull everyone else away? And if you are that bad wheat, we can help you and teach you how to change. And if you are, come forward as together we stand and sing. In heaven there's